The 315 is getting two new voices for this episode to celebrate Women's History Month. I'm Katie Zolkowski, and alongside me is Cora Thomas. We'll be talking with Johanna Rogers about her new web series, Behind the Woman. That's coming up on the 315.
On-demand audio from WAER is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. To give or to find more information, visit our website, waer.org.
March is Women's History Month, and here on the 315, we wanted to celebrate by looking at the women changing the Syracuse landscape right now. I'm Katie Zolkowski, here with Cora Thomas.
And we decided to give Joe and Kevin some time off, figuring this month, we, Katie and I, as women, will have the honor of hosting 315. We're here today with Johanna Rogers. She has a wealth of knowledge, including experience as a researcher, dancer, traveler, and actress, and that's just the surface.
And recently, she launched a web series titled Behind the Woman, where she interviews the women of Central New York about their journeys.
Well, today we're going to flip the script with Johanna on 315 and find out what is behind the woman that is Johanna Rogers. Well, Johanna, first of all, thank you for being with us today.
No, thank you all for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you created a web series called Behind the Woman. How did you come up with this project?
I love the way you say that.
Really? Yes. You want me to say it again?
Behind the Woman. Hopefully I sound that sophisticated when I say it. I came up with this idea after a number of opportunities that I've had to share my story. Mm-hmm. And part of my journey to Central New York is all wrapped in my pursuit of a higher education and receiving my PhD at Indiana University. And me and seven of my colleagues were deemed the Great Eight and have been recognized all over the country for our success in completing PhDs and making history at IU. And as I've gone through the last couple of years talking about that story, I've often said that, you know, the great eight, as we've been deemed, is, you know, the experience, kind of the end of the road for us. But the power of our story really has to do with understanding the barriers, the experiences we had to go through to get there. And I felt like so many times when we hear about women, we see them in a particular position or in a particular space or with a particular title. And I was like, we're so much more than that. But oftentimes you don't get to talk about the moments that got you there or the hurdles you had to jump over to get you to said space. And when we look around, I was a part of Auburn Public Theater's Four Color Girls last year. Been re-engaging in theater and performance, and I'm looking for the stories about women of color specifically and how they come through. And they're often silenced in a very, very real way. And so as a part of my development, and Great Eight is, you know, something I talk about, but that's behind me, like, what's next? Mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of create a platform that provided a space for women to talk about themselves beyond their title, beyond their perceived notoriety, and get to the essence of who they are. And so Behind the Woman is my version of trying to do that.
Okay. You said something about women of color. So is that your concentration?
That is a large focus of the show, but not the only focus. So okay. We have a number of women that fit diverse categories, but we're also open to women who are in support of those okay. women's and initiatives that speak to the experiences of women of color.
Okay. Is it Syracuse residents or is it women in general?
No, it's not. Right now, the shows that have aired have been featuring women that live in Syracuse.
Okay.
The response to the show, however, has opened up doors, and I've had calls from Binghamton to Auburn, Albany even, with folks asking, how can we be a part of this? We would love to come on and share our stories. So we're starting in Central New York. I think it's really, really important. as I go through this community. It's become a home to me over the last 4 years. I think it's really, really important to shine a light on women, specifically women of color in this light that are leading in this arena, because I think it visually casts a different message about what's happening in Central New York and who some of the movers and shakers are, and not just in high leadership, just CEO positions, but folks that are on the ground leading grassroots initiatives, taking on, Osha Keaton was featured in talking about poverty. You know, women that are leading the charge for change are the women I'm interested in. And I have hopes of expanding beyond Syracuse, but I'm starting here because I think the community could really use that.
So what have been some of the reactions to the women that you've reached out to when you explain your project, why you want them on the show?
My goodness, most of them have been like, me? I don't know if I'm a good interviewer. Like, John, I don't know. Can I come on? I don't know. I don't know what I would talk about. I don't know what to say. And so I think I have a pretty hospitable nature. And so I'm just like, just sit down on the couch with me. You know, let's just have a conversation. You know, this isn't scripted. I just want you to be you and talk about, you don't have to talk about your job. We'll probably mention your title if you're comfortable with that, but we just want to get to know you. Right?
So the couch was like a big part of...
The couch, the setting, and all of that was a big part of it because I didn't want women to feel like they had to be on, right? Like, this is your moment. If you got to go to dinner with Oprah, right? You don't want Oprah to show up as... that. You want her to be like, okay, I'm a woman. This is what I'm going through. This is, you know, and just have an intimate conversation and find... human connection, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the powerful part of being able to establish a platform to women that some may be working with the perception that, you know, she's successful already. She's a leader. She's already in her career path. And I want to be able to open up the conversation in a way that for women or young girls who are aspiring to get to where she is, they see the humanness in her story that makes it seem where she is possible to achieve because she has similar experiences as me. She comes from where I come from.
Okay. Well, you did a number of interviews so far. About how many did you do?
Oh, well, we have released 4 episodes so far. Mm-hmm. We have released 4 episodes, and we're really excited about them. We have gotten an overwhelming amount of feedback and positive cheer on what has already been released, and we look forward to putting more out.
How often do you release?
We release about every 2 weeks now. We normally put something out on a Friday evening, which in the winter months has worked out well because folks are cozied up at home and have the weekend to really watch and take in the message, especially on, you know, Friday, the work week is done. You're looking for something to maybe lift up one's spirit.
Well, of all those interviews, and I'm putting you on the spot,
which
ones inspired you the most?
Oh, my gosh. She did just put me on the spot.
I did.
All of
I'm
them
sorry.
Inspired me.
Okay, good
ways.
Answer.
You know, and that is the honest truth. And I'll give you a little behind the scenes on that. I have a crew of students, no longer students there, a young group of entrepreneurs that is my production team, and they have a crew that works with them. And we would be sitting on the couch, you know, engaging in conversation, and they almost forgot to, like, do whatever the producers do. Like, we looked at them, we ran out of conversation, and their eyes were glued on us. And that's when I knew, like, I'm not sure, you know, you're in the thick of the conversation, the interview, like your adrenaline's flowing, so you're not really thinking about what the whole picture looks like until you get to, like, that editing process. But several times and sitting down on the couch, this crew was just, like, fully drawn in on the conversation to the point that we had to be like, I think we're done. And they're like, oh, you know? And so that was really powerful to me, and that's how I kind of felt like maybe we're kind of on to something here. There's that part of it. And then with each of the guests that at least the community has been able to see so far, I learned something so different. And that's where we get the titles of each of the episodes, because it was just something that permeated in that conversation that really just spoke to our souls. So Sharon Owens and her talking about you being the last chance that someone took on you.
Yes.
Right? And just how that really powerfully speaks to cultivating generational leadership.
Yes.
Right? Like somebody has to pass the baton. And Joanne Yarrow from Syracuse Stage just talking about to thy own self be true. And understanding just how to fully like live your life and be in that moment, whether it's on the stage or in the theater, was really, as someone who loves and appreciates theater in a really a deep way, that just so resonated. And our experiences as artists were just explosive, I think, in that episode. Osha Keaton and her conversation about understanding where you come from and being able to go back home to give was really, really powerful. And how she came to social work as a field through some what some would call misfortunes in developing lupus, but that almost like saving her and helping her find her path in a way was really, really powerful. And then Vanessa Campbell talking about doing it afraid and how every day it's almost like even coming in here like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on 315. Oh my gosh. You know, like me, you know, but you show up and you do it anyway.
Yes.
And that natural, maybe it's natural, that insecurity or that moment of doubt, knowing that that's just like your gut check, right?
Yeah.
That's just the moment that really pushes you to say, do you want this? Do you really want this? And being like, yeah, you walk into it with something that was powerful from that episode.
So you have seemed to have taken a lot away from your conversations. And what
are some
of the things that you hope other people are getting out of them that translate through the screen that people can sense from these interviews?
That your dreams are possible. Part of my mission in this Behind the Woman work came out of this idea around woman up. In 2019, I wanted to figure out a way how to connect with 2019 women, right? And empower them to pursue something, to like jump, as I say. And it was in that notion of like womaning up, like what that means, and thinking about as women, how our roles and expectations from like our home life or our cultural backgrounds really shape some of the expectations that you have or the opportunities that may come along to you that you can take hold of. And sometimes those are in conflict. Sometimes you got to think about, you know, can I do this? I'm a mom. Can I be an entrepreneur? You know, can I pursue a graduate degree? Can I have all these other pressing things in my life. And I think it's through the power of like relationship building, sisterhood, that we're able to empower one another to like pursue those opportunities. And that's what I want to be able to do. And that's what I'm hoping when folks watch an episode in different ways, whether it's choosing a hairstyle or trying acting for the first time or changing your career or moving, doing something daring to get you to that next step, that you're empowered to take it.
Well, March is Women History Month. Well, happy Women's History Month, ladies.
Happy Women's History Month.
To you,
yes.
Too.
Well, what does this mean to you, Johanna?
Oh, my goodness. That there, Women's History Month for me as a Black woman that grew up in an urban community, that has traveled the world, done a lot of fantastic things. It's a matter of using my story, using my access to opportunities to give back. It's a moment in which I could recognize the village of women that have come around me from the time that I was never that small, but smaller than I am, to, you know, usher me forward. And when I think back from the times I was a little girl, there was my moms, my aunts, my friendships. There's always been kind of this circle of women around me that have held me accountable, that have challenged me to pursue, that have checked me when I was, you know, off my path, right, in different ways. And I think this is a month for me that I have the opportunity to like reflect back and celebrate them and celebrate how they've helped me to get to where I am.
Okay, as far as you being fairly new to Syracuse, I think you said 4 years old?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, what was your, taking you back 4 years now, what was your first impression?
I couldn't find the people. I showed up here in the...
You couldn't find what people?
People, in general. In general. But I think I realized that it was the winter. I showed up in the winter.
We were in the house. We were in the house.
Right. Exactly. So it was 2015 when it was like that really, really frigidly cold, didn't get above freezing from like Christmas until like April or something. It was crazy. And that was my introduction to Syracuse. And it snowed every day. My son went to school maybe like 3 days a week for the whole, I'm like, what is this place? And we would go outside and I'd just be like, people are not gathered anywhere. And the one place I found was the mall. And on Friday, Friday nights at that time, people would gather and dance because there would be a band performing at one of the restaurants there. And that's where I would go. Like, I was like, I guess people just go out to the mall here.
Food court.
Right, yeah, right. And then Juneteenth came and I was bringing my son home from a Saturday program that he was involved in. And I got to Clinton Square and there were swarms of people everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, where did this come from? But finally the weather had broke and I will never ever forget that. But I was just like, this town, there's no one. I don't know where to find people. I can't make friends. I don't know anybody. But I just realized in winter people, you know, kind of hibernate. But that was a specific winter because it was so bad, at least from moving here from the Midwest. And once I found the people, it's kind of like it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. I got a job opportunity to engage with the community. And I have really formed, I think, powerful relationships, which have led kind of led me to where I am now.
Okay. Again, being a new resident, where would you like to see the city go in the future?
Oh, my goodness.
New eyes.
In the future, I would love to see, I'm engaged, I work for Center State CEO, I'm working with the economic inclusion team there. And we are cultivating pipelines of entrepreneurs, of opportunities to get folks engaged in the workforce. And we are day in and day out thinking of innovative ways to structure opportunity and eliminate the barriers that have historically kept people out of better pathways to employment, pursuing their entrepreneurial dreams. And I think there's enough happening here in this city where in 10 years, we could see a diverse business sector happening downtown, that there is a growing body of diverse leadership leading the city forward. And it's happening in a way that's affordable, that you can have a family here and we are living in what would be a world-class city with, you know, vibrancy and culture. I often think Syracuse could be the mecca of, what is this called, Central New York?
Central New York.
But also upstate New York. Like, you know, I really, really do. I lived in a number of different places, and this city has the cultural ethnic mix that if we find ways to kind of leverage that and bring groups together, like we would offer this region of the world something that could be really, really beautiful. And to do that in a city where you can still walk the streets when it's not snow covered and, you know, there's lake and water and all that. I think that could be something special.
So we've asked you about Syracuse. We've asked you about women. But what about Syracuse women specifically? What makes them
special? Because they are kicking butt. There we go. They are just not asking permission. and they are just leading in a way that's fierce. They're doing it in a way that is collaborative. I get phone calls and how can we help, and that is not often the case. You know, a lot of times you may be, you know, I lived in Indianapolis for 10 years and I don't feel like I was as connected to the community, partly because I was in graduate school. That kind of consumes your life. But here it's just like, be here. You have a ticket to this. You want to be like, we are going to show up in force, and we are not just going to show up and sit in the audience. We are going to show up, establish a plan, and we are going to lead some change. And I think that is just a unique piece of what I'm seeing in the women here. And I'm just like, the world needs to see this. Because growing up in New Jersey, and I do go home fairly often, and folks go, why are you in Syracuse? Like, what's happening there? And I was like, you want to see what's happening here? Just check out Behind the Woman. And not that they, you know, people may assume that that exists in New York City and Chicago's and in those types of places, which I would challenge us to kind of look and examine that more closely. But Syracuse has a dynamic force of women that are leading some excellent initiatives and doing things that I think is going to paint the color of this town very differently in the next 10, 20, 30 years.
So what are you looking forward to working on next? I mean, obviously you still have Behind the Woman going on, uh-huh. but what does the future hold for Johanna Rogers?
Oh my gosh, the future holds for Johanna Rogers. Next week I'm directing a play at Auburn Public Theater called A Gathering Place. It's an original piece of work that a group of women put together that were part of the cast of Four Colored Girls last year. And we just want to continue to bring a presence of diverse women to the theater space. And so we formed the Harriet Tubman Troupe, and I'm directing this first piece. And so that will be new. I'm thinking about potentially a book project. And I'm looking for a beach and a day off.
A beach.
Ooh. A little bit of warmth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be very strategic and focused in doing self-care. And figuring out ways to incorporate those things in my life so that
Wonderful.
I'm able to show up and perform and not do it half tired. That's inevitable sometimes, but taking some time just to enjoy.
Just for you.
Just for me, yeah. Yeah. And reconnecting with family and friends that, you know, when you're like in the grind of making things happen, you don't get to do as much. And I'm looking forward to carving out some time committed solely to just like sitting on my grandma's porch.
Awesome. Awesome. So where can we find information about you? If I looked up your name, where do I find your Behind the Woman or your plays, whatever you're doing?
You can definitely check out my website for my initiatives outside of my workplace. And that's at johannarogers.com.
Okay.
I try to keep that as up to date as possible with things that are going on. March 21st, I'll be at CFAC doing a celebration for women. That's happening. And if you're interested in any of my like community engagement work around economic development, economic inclusion, I'm at Center State CEO.
Well, thank you, Johanna Rogers, for coming in and joining us today here on the 315 to celebrate both your work with Behind the Woman and Women's History Month here.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. This was a phenomenal conversation. I'm happy to be here and love to come back anytime you're willing to have me.
Great job by Katie and Cora this week chatting with a phenomenal guest in Johanna Rogers and finding out more about what she's doing with the Behind the Woman series.
Couldn't agree more. And it's really inspiring to see how Johanna wants to take her talents and abilities to create this series and lift up the success stories of women in Central New York and hopefully inspire her viewers to pursue their own passions.
And as they mentioned, you can find more from today's guest at her website, johannarogers.com. Oh, hey, and don't forget, you can also get more of the 315 at waer.org.
And while we know you're on Facebook looking at cute puppy photos, don't forget you can also connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook at the 315 CNY. I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee. Thanks for listening.